Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. You're listening to Midday Show. I am Bill Matz in for Joe Giglio, joined as always by the Eagles legend Hugh Douglas. We are broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's NFC Champ Camp, driven by Delaware Valley BMW Centers. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. And joining us now, very special guest from the Eagles, Cam Jurgens is with us. How you doing, Cam? How was practice today?
Man, it was good. It was hot, sweaty. Appreciate you guys having me on the new camper out here.
Yeah, it's nice enjoying camper. This nice air conditioning in here for a bit.
Yeah.
So Cam, normally I don't like to talk about family business on the radio, but I got to ask a question. Man, what happened at that fight yesterday?
The fight?
Yeah, I need detail. I need deets. I know Coach told you not to tell anybody and not to talk about it.
But it's just us now.
Ain't nobody listening. What happened yesterday?
I mean, I think it's all good. There's nothing big. But, yeah, he thought, you know, it might have been a little dirty of a play. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But Landon's a big old bear, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't take too much to hit somebody for them to go down. So, but, they're all good now. I don't think it was too much to worry about.
You know, you told me more than I actually thought you were going to tell me. I appreciate that. I thought you were going to clam up on me a little bit. So how has practice been going now, you know, since you're in the starting spot right now? How's it been going for you?
It's been good. I'm just learning every day, and it's fun, like, going through, and I'll get done with the first series of plays, and I'll be, like, asking Kelce and Lane, like, what did you see? What are you doing? Like, it's learning how to communicate with them and improve from, like, play to play. So it's, you know, there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff, and trying to, you know, just get consistent with it.
You know what's funny? Like when I got here, because I got here at the beginning of the year, and they were talking about you coming in and potentially playing with the starting lineup. And the one thing that I heard everybody talking about was you were small. You're not small. Like, you're not small by anybody's stretch. So when you heard all of that, how did that make you feel when you heard people say, oh, he's too small to play with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when they say I'm small, it sounds like they're saying I'm weak. Like, come on. Like, I'm pretty strong. I got long arms. Like, I can hold myself. So, I don't know. That's just like
white noise. You just don't need to pay attention.
You got to hear something. You got to have a knock on everybody. So, you know, I'm obviously trying to gain weight, but, like, I feel like I'm pretty solid at where I'm at right now and trying to, you know, just get stronger throughout the season.
Well, we said the same thing about Jason Kelce, and it worked out pretty well for him being, quote-unquote, undersized. So you're in good company there. What has been the biggest adjustment from center to guard for you?
I would say spacing, awareness. You know, it's so easy at center. I know where I'm going to go. I go where the ball is every time. So at guard, like, there's just plays that I may need to line up a little different, more off the ball, more outside, and just how – figuring out how to set and relate to different, like a 2-eye or a 3 and different D linemen if he's wide or inside me. So, like, I think that spatial awareness and knowing where I should be and where I should put my hands, you know, that's a little different. At center, it's a lot more self-explanatory.
So, it's year two for you now. You're running with the ones. A little bit different of an experience than coming in as a rookie. Has just the position switch been the biggest adjustment? Like, what has been the biggest difference for you now that you're a second-year guy?
I would say, honestly, just confidence. And, you know, coming in last year, I'm learning the playbook. I'm learning how to be, like, a professional athlete, learning how to take care of my body. And this year, it's like, man, I'm comfortable in this organization. I love the guys in the O-line room. And I just – it's so much easier when you know what you're doing and you're having fun doing it, you know, instead of worrying about – you know, making the right move or this and that. It's like I'm just trying to be confident and go out there and do what I know.
You know, I'm kind of curious because everybody that I've asked this question had somewhat a different answer. But how different is Jalen Hurts this year as opposed to the Jalen Hurts from last year?
Man, I think he's been great this year, and I think, like, we're seeing – Jalen's got that kind of guy that's, like, always there, you know, weekend or late in the day. Like, he is at that facility all day long, and it's crazy seeing him work and how much time he puts in. He's not out in the open. He does it, like, you know, on his own, or, you know, he doesn't care if people know how much work he's putting in. Like, he's doing it for himself, and he's seeing, like, we see that, you know, and it's cool seeing all the little stuff come along with it, because when you have somebody – that's obviously getting paid the most on the team, that is the hardest worker on the team. Like, that sets the culture right there. You know, when you got the best guys setting the example, So I think obviously he's a great player and he's improving, but he improves the whole team with his just how he carries himself, his character, and because you know he is our team, and when he sets that example, like you know I've always seen him say like the. What is it? The standard is a standard.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Hurts is a standard. So I think the team follows like how much work he puts in.
Now, you guys are getting ready for the Ravens. You're getting ready for Baltimore. And it's been a pretty big storyline the last couple years. They care about wins and losses in the preseason. They go out there and try to win games. Is there any extra emphasis on this one because you know you're getting a full effort from the Ravens?
I mean, I think all we're worried about is, you know, training camp getting better every single day. You know, we're not looking forward ahead of time and too much stuff. Like, you know, we're starting to get into the time of prepping for the Ravens and seeing what they're doing. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, you got to worry about what we're doing and how we're getting better as a team. And I think that's mostly what training camp is about. You know, that's why, like, we got 2 weeks of joint practices just to, you know, get better during that week.
How much you think y'all gonna play tomorrow night? Well, Saturday night.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm fine playing the whole game, playing, you know, whatever they tell
me. You don't even care.
So.
You just ready to go. You just ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, we're getting a lot of reps in practice, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
You anxious to get the season started? Kind of feels like you're a little anxious.
I am. I'm kind of anxious to get some of the joint practices. I feel like that's, you know. The joint practices, that's you get a lot out of those. And you
ready to put
see,
your hands on somebody else? Huh?
I'm ready to hit somebody else. Like, it's fun
against
our D-line.
You're amongst company. You're amongst family. You're ready to put your hands on somebody else, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it would be nice. But, you know, our D-line's pretty darn good. So I'm getting some good work every single day. So, will be nice to hit somebody a little different. It might not be a Fletcher Cox.
So that red hair just ain't like – you got a little mean streak about yourself, huh? A little bit.
I feel like you got to if you're on the O-line. You know, you're not going to be a good O-lineman if you ain't.
I heard that. Okay. Okay. I feel a little some kind of way. Hey, getting ready for the season to start. I can't wait for it. Can't wait to see what he's going to do.
So, Cam, I asked this of Avante Maddox, and he gave me – he gave me Quez Watkins as a guy who he's really seen, you know, he's lined up against and really seen improve. Is there anyone who's really surprised you in your time now that, you know, you're running with the ones, there's a lot of new young guys out there? Like, who has really surprised you in this camp?
I'd probably stick to our D-line. You know, I think Fletcher Cox has been really good this preseason. I get to see him every day and go against him, and Jalen Carter is going to be a force this year. I think Jordan Davis has got a lot better from last year. You can tell how much work he's put in. So I'm sticking to, you know, that D-line right there. I think they've gotten a lot better.
You know, I know it's kind of hard for offensive linemen because, like, your stats are different because, like, you do a lot during the course of the game and you really don't get a whole lot of credit for it. But I'm going to ask you, what are some of the things that you want to accomplish this year going into this season?
I mean, I want to keep Jalen healthy. That's honestly the main thing I'm worried about, and making sure that, you know, whoever I'm blocking isn't touching him.
No pancakes, no giving nobody the business during the course of the game.
I mean, that comes with the game, you know.
Folding like, cats like tents and stuff, you know, breaking backs, stuff like that.
I mean, I think if you play with your hair on fire, that's going to happen, you know. So you don't want to go out for the reason that, like, oh, I want to go pancake this guy. It's like, you know, I want to go kick this guy's ass.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
So, I mean, that happens when you just, you know, you're sound with your technique and you play hard.
Cam, I feel like I just feel like you talk trash when you're out there, man. Do you talk trash?
When I ain't tired, I do. I guess I try, but I don't. You know, I try to conserve energy as best I can.
Okay. Who's the best trash talker on the D-line? Who gives it back to you?
I mean, BG's always talking. Always. Like, whether it's trash, good talk, like, congratulations. He's just literally always talking, like, no matter what. I don't know how he does it.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, Cam. Hugh, do you have anything
else? No, I'm good, man.
For?
I'm excited. I'm excited to see Cam because Cam looks like, to me, I think Cam is that dude that's going to be, you know, he's gonna set the tone for the season. So I can't wait to see what it's going to look like, that offensive line.
Appreciate
really looking,
you guys
really looking forward
on.
To watching you this year, and thanks a lot for joining us, Cam.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, and big thanks to Optimum RV for providing this beautiful air-conditioned RV here at training camp. Optimum RV, your go-to for the RV lifestyle, conveniently located in Pottstown. I'm getting there with, with this season, man.
I'm excited, man, because you know, it's funny how you know you hear people say, "Oh, well, he's too little," and when you see him, I'm like, "Damn, he ain't little. He's not little at all by any stretch of the imagination."
Now, you're not the size you were when you played, but I'm sitting next to an NFL player who was pretty damn good on the D-line for a while.
And I'm looking at him like,
he's gigantic next to you.
Like, it's different, man, because these young cats nowadays, you know, like I said, the nutrition, the way that they work out and everything, they look a lot different than the offensive linemen that I played against. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. And obviously, every time that I've talked to any of these young men, and you can't see it because obviously we're on radio, but when I ask them specific questions about like their personal goals and what they see themselves doing this year, they always look off into the distance because they're visualizing their success during the course of the season. I love it. And when I asked Cam about his mean streak, he immediately went off into space. And that's why I kept asking the question.
He's thinking about hitting somebody.
Because he definitely has a mean streak. So I'm excited to see how all this comes together, because the one thing that I've noticed throughout all of these interviews that we've been able to do is that this team collectively is on a mission. And with that being said, there's still some individual accolades that guys want to get, but collectively they got their eye on the prize.
And I think it was, you know, having Avante Maddox, you know, a cornerback, he's got counting stats. You know, you can go to Pro Football Reference and see what he's accomplished, what production is for him.
Yeah.
And so he has ideas in mind. Like, he wants a couple of sacks. He wants a few interceptions. And you ask Cam Jurgens, Jalen Hurts stays healthy. You know, that's his goal. And that's
priority.
That's the priority of the whole offensive line. And it's great to hear. It is funny when we talk about Jurgens as undersized. And, you know, while we were preparing for the show, Mike Angelina says he's the same size as Isaac Seumalo. And I think Seumalo had 10 pounds on him. And Jurgens told us he's looking to put on some weight, get a little bigger, but he's there.
Yeah. And it's funny, man, because you know, we as media members, certain people set the narrative. And sometimes we just go with what other people say.
Oh, well, he's little, yeah.
Yeah. And now meeting him and meeting all these guys, I'm like,
he barely fit in this room.
Man, I'm like, I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about.
215-592-9494 if you want to get aboard as we're coming to you live from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's NFC Champ Camp, driven by Delaware Valley BMW Centers. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. I do want to get back to the phones here as people want to get in on the Phils and that incredible game last night. Let's go to David in Germantown. What's up, David?
David!
Woo! Good morning. I just put the... Oh, my God. I just clicked Bluetooth on. I was on a business call. Y'all going to be proud of me. I moved to Iowa. I was in the process. Dude, don't laugh. I moved to Iowa.
Why?
See?
No, I'm asking why. I mean, Iowa, I know people in Iowa that try to get out.
Well, you might need, I have to put you in the Rolodex then. Okay.
So why you moved to Iowa?
Because I feel comfortable.
That's a good reason to move to Iowa.
I feel safe in Iowa. I was born and raised.
Has anyone asked you, is this heaven, and you've said no, it's Iowa?
I think it's corn.
It's migration. Like, when you get mature enough to learn things, you pay attention to people.
I think
that was a good
corn
interview with Jurgensen when he said he had to, like, he came in nervous. I was a little nervous, but you know, after getting settled in, I figured it out. Like, okay, this is okay. I can deal with this.
I was more surprised that Cam told us more about the fight. I didn't think he was going to talk about that. He opened
up. You pried him.
He had to give us something.
Yeah, he was cool, man. I like him. It ain't too many offensive linemen I like, but I like that guy.
So what did you think of the Phils game last night, David?
Oh, that was perfect. I had to watch it on replay because I drive for a living. So basically my move was job-related. But, yeah, I watched the replay, and I was just like, they didn't yank him because, you know, I'm used to Steve Carlton. Like, he's gang war. You know him, Ryan. He just throw the ball. And y'all didn't let me get my thing off yesterday. Shout out to Jack Fritz. Fritz with Walker. He got a shout out on ESPN on Sunday. I think it was from Edgar, but they was like, Jack Fripps is in the building. I don't know where Fripps was, but Jack
got a shout out. You ain't gonna be able to tell Jack nothing.
I know.
Jack's head's not going to fit in the producer's booth. We're going to have to renovate the entire station.
I guarantee you he heard it, because I heard it. It was only like 5 seconds, quick snippet. I don't know if it was like the fifth or the sixth inning. But he was like, I'm like, Jack Fripps. It was like, okay, that's the guy that hated on me back in the day. I'm banned from calling Ike Reese and him. But anyway, and your running back point was good. So how many lollipops you got left, Hugh?
Lollipops?
The blow pops, some things, you know.
Oh, you talking about the candy? The I got quite a few.
Y'all said I was sipping on the sauce. I got quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah, right? I got quite a few. I still got some lollipops left.
Okay. Well, wait till the juniors get to it.
What's your iconic moment that you've been to live?
Oh, the step over.
Oh, you're at the step over.
Oh, the AI game. That's a good one.
Everybody. And that's another thing. My daughter, I asked her, this is my firstborn, she's 27. Isaac, I love you to death. Your daddy's never lied to you. But she was like, Dad, you got to give an AI. I'm like, he's retired. She was talking about artificial intelligence, whatever, the voice thing over, his iPhone out and all. So he's laughing. Like, I'm 51. I'll be 52 September the 4th. But, yeah, I didn't know what AI, I didn't Google it. I don't like Googling nothing because it makes me feel dumb. But I didn't know what AI was. And then they got it hooked up to the music. That's corny.
No problem Googling. I'm a prolific Googler.
Thanks a lot for the call, David. Appreciate it.
I am a prolific Googler. I have no problem Googling.
So
I will Google my ass off in a heartbeat to know something.
That's and I don't know if you remember this, Hugh, but this is actually the third time we've worked together. Back in the day, you hosted the morning show alongside Big Daddy Graham and Rob Ellis, and I was the intern. We did a couple of holiday shows together.
Is that right?
I went to the Deptford Mall to get a gift card for your wife, and we did some funny bits on that. But it just reminds me of Big Daddy would always say, the internet ruined one of his favorite games. People would call him and be like, hey, who was in that movie? And, they, and that doesn't exist anymore.
No, because it's like everything you could Google it now. I don't mind it, but, you know, it's almost like you're cheating, but I don't mind cheating.
Yeah.
Especially when it's something. Like, I've gotten to the point now where if I'm watching television and say something randomly comes across the screen, I will Google it just to find out about it. I can't tell you, and I really can't tell on the radio because it would be kind of weird, how many rabbit holes that I've went down on a random night Googling stuff and ended up somewhere. And I'm like, well, how the hell did I get here? I mean, so I Google a lot.
Yeah, I feel you. We just lost that caller. So 215-592-9494. Now, we just asked Cam Jurgens about the fight yesterday between Landon Dickerson and Derek Barnett. I want to know about the best fights you've seen, you know, because we started the show and you said even after last night's no-hitter, you'd still rather see a brawl.
Yeah.
So I want to know about some of the best fights you actually have seen, whether they be at training camp or maybe with a member of the team in the locker room. And
well, I don't know if it's considered a good fight, but I've been in a few training camp fights. And one that I remember is I got in a fight with Jumbo Elliott. At training camp, and if nobody remembers, like this, like I know you probably don't know Bill because you're too young for this, but Jumbo
I can
Elliott,
Google him. Yeah,
but Jumbo Elliott was a tackle that played for the New York Giants, and then he played for the New York Jets. And I remember my second year in the league, I came into the league small school, had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, and I'll never forget. We were in practice one day. Jumbo Elliott was Jumbo Elliott was put together for offensive lineman. And I remember once we were in practice and Jumbo Elliott ragdolled me at practice. And, you know, I fell on the ground and he didn't say a word. He just walked back to the huddle. And I remember Marvin Washington, my teammate, D lineman. He said, dang, dog, you just going to let Jumbo do you like that? And he said it just like that. And he put them like we call it putting the jumper cables on you. So he put the cables on me.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next play, I bull rush Jumbo and I pick him up off the ground. And I slam him, and I just start swinging on him. And I'm hit like we got on pass, but I'm swinging. I'm hitting Jumbo, and while I'm hitting Jumbo, Jumbo's still getting up, and he says, "I'm gonna freaking kill you." And he was like, and I was like, "Dog." And so what happened was, so Marvin jumps on Jumbo because I'm hitting Jumbo, and I'm trying to keep him down, but he's steady getting he's up. Talking getting about, I'm going to freaking kill you. So Marvin jumps on top of Jumbo, and Jumbo's like, get the hell off me, Marvin, before I freaking kill you. So I'm sitting there, right, and I'm like, damn, Jumbo about to beat my ass. So we going to the locker room, right, and so I'm sitting at my chair, and Jumbo, and I'm looking at it, right, and I had my hand on my chair because I'm like, if Jumbo come over here and fool with me, I'm going to hit Jumbo with this chair.
You had the chair?
No, listen. Like, I had the chair in my hand, right? Like, I had my hand on the chair, right? Because, obviously, at this point, I ain't got nothing for Jumbo because Jumbo, I didn't hit Jumbo with all my blows, and he ate all those blows.
So you have to introduce a foreign
object.
So
I'm going to go ahead and go chair on Jumbo. So I'm thinking, like, Jumbo walks past me, right? I don't say nothing to him. So I'm thinking, like, it's about to go down. Jumbo didn't say a word. He walked past me. Like, it was one of those things where he left it at practice, and I was grateful for that because, boy, I tell you, it wouldn't have been a fair, like if Jumbo wouldn't have did that, I was going to hit Jumbo with a chair. I was definitely going to hit him with a chair, now, but he let it go.
This is like, what, 96?
This was 96, 1996.
So you're coming off of a 10-sack rookie season.
Yeah.
You hit one of the starting O-linemen with a chair. Like, what's the fallout of that?
I probably
like, what are the consequences
See,
here?
Like, I didn't think that far ahead. I just knew at that point I wasn't about to take an L. I wasn't about to take an L, and Jumbo was about to get this chair across his head. I wasn't thinking that far ahead, but I knew that whatever happened next, that I couldn't fight him fair, and he was going to catch that chair. He was going to catch that chair a couple times. He was going to get hit as many times with that chair as I could have gotten that chair off and hit him before he put his hands around my neck and choked me out. He's going to catch a couple of those.
This is outstanding. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Mark the Sledgehammer. What's going on today?
Yo, Bill Matz, what is up, dude?
How's it going?
It's going. Hugh, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
So from what I'm hearing, we almost had a WWE SmackDown going up in the locker room, huh?
Almost, but Jumbo was the bigger man, and he let me live. He let me live another day.
Oh, man, that probably definitely would have been a sight, but thank God nothing came of it. I don't think Coach Reed would have liked it.
No, Coach Reed, no, you know what? That was when I was with the Jets, so it would have been Coach Kotite.
Oh, he definitely wouldn't have tolerated that.
Yeah.
But anyway, dude, how often, and it doesn't really happen anymore, you get a pitcher to go through 9 innings and throw a no-hitter? Like, that really doesn't happen too much more in today's game. You might hear, like, once in a while a pitcher goes 7-8 innings, but a complete game and a no-hitter. I mean, and for his home opener as a Philly, second game pitching as a Philly, that is one heck of an acquisition there. I mean, Dave Dombrowski really did good on this one.
Oh, no question about it. So much so, like I wonder if you were thinking the same way that I was thinking. Is he kind of now with the way that Topper handled him, do you kind of consider him your ace now? Because he's went longer than anybody that you've actually had on the roster thus far.
You know, I wouldn't really consider him an ace just yet. I mean, I will still give that to Wheeler despite the season he's been having. But if he can stay consistent like that and keep pitching like that, there's a good chance that he would be in the running as be an ace.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And I think he's definitely working his way into the playoff rotation. Now there's still plenty of time left. But I credited Dave Dombrowski earlier. You know, they leave him in for the 124 pitches, and they have that luxury because they went to this six-man rotation, and they have a few off days coming up. So I think a lot went into this from the president to the manager. Everyone deserves a ton of credit, and obviously it was a magical performance for Lorenzen not allowing a hit. He's the one who actually accomplished it. But just leaving him in for 124 pitches, to your point, that's not something we see.
Yeah, and the great thing about that is you didn't have to worry about using the bunny in the bullpen. So the bullpen got an extra day of rest. So,
Yeah, it's just more rest for a bullpen that badly needs it. It's been one of the strengths of the team, but we're starting to see maybe Kimbrel's getting a little tired. They got a couple guys on the IL. It's not quite what it was, you know, a few weeks ago in that bullpen. So this is happening at the perfect time.
Yeah, and that was one of the things why they went out and got some pitchers, because they were kind of concerned about the bullpen arms. So yeah, that's great. Great that he's able to do it, and Topper trusts him the way that he does.
What's your iconic moment that you saw live, Mark?
Before I give you that, real quick, Bill Matz, come next year. I'm expecting to see you at the link for WrestleMania, man. Finally coming to Philly.
Oh, yeah, don't you worry about that. I am going to be taking the full week off. I will be at all wrestling events that entire week.
So my iconic moment, I got to see it live. It was a great night. Not only did they honor McNabb, but the iconic moment of that night was the return of Andy Reid to Philly after he joined KC.
Reed's return and McNabb's.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Not bad. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
night.
A good one.
Yep.
And that was, I believe, and thanks a lot for the call, Mark. Was that Chip Kelly's first home game?
I don't know.
Mike would probably know.
I was not a Chip Kelly fan.
Chip Kelly's first home game, was it? Oh, it was San Diego. It was the week before, probably.
Yeah, I was not a Chip Kelly
Okay. fan. No, it was just, but that was a moment in time. Like, there was a time everybody was on the Chip bandwagon. It didn't last all that long. But it was iconic when it happened.
Yeah, I remember vividly when they hired Chip. I text Howie because I was mad, and I forgot exactly what Howie said, but I remember texting because I was a little bit upset that they hired Chip.
You actually texted the GM of the team about the coaching hire?
Was he the GM then? Yeah, because that was when they put Howie in the closet, I think.
He and Lori made the decision, and then, you know, a year later they put him in the closet.
I remember texting him, and I forgot exactly what Howie said, but yeah, I remember doing that because I did not like that hire.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot about Hugh today. 215-592-9494, and we are broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's NFC Champ Camp, driven by Delaware Valley BMW Centers, BMW, the ultimate driving machine. We are giving away a four-pack of tickets to see 50 Cent in Camden on Saturday. That's this Saturday, August the 12th. All you have to do is give us the best, most iconic moment that you actually got to experience live. We've had some good answers so far. Hoskins' bat spike, the Rollins retirement ceremony, Iverson's step over in the finals, and now the Andy Reid's return to Philly, and which was coincided with Donovan McNabb's jersey retirement. So some good stuff so far. Waiting to hear more from you. On the other side, we're going to get back into the Phils, some Eagles as well. You're listening to Bill Matz and Hugh Douglas on Sports Radio 94 WIP.